Chapter 53.
Hello, Plimpton.
Hands up.
Where's O'Shea?
In the air. Tell your boss that I owe him for an excellent emerald, and I'm looking forward to paying him in person. Now!
Do it, Bell, Falconer said. They've already shot my lieutenant and my engineer.
Isaac Bell raised his hands, having stalled long enough to rate the opposition.
Plimpton held a semi-automatic German Navy Luger like he knew his business, but the pretty boy bruisers flanking him were of their league. The elder, gingerly toting a sawed-off 20-gauge Remington, might pass for a small-town bank guard. The younger gripped his revolver like a bouncer in a YMCA. They were not on Falconer's yacht due to a well-thought-out plan, Bell surmised. Something had gone wrong. What had drawn them at the last moment to Dyname? Escape on the fastest ship in the harbor after O'Shea unleashed his torpedoes? But Dyname hadn't the range to cross the Atlantic Ocean. Surely O'Shea had intended to take a liner to Europe, traveling with Catherine D. under assumed names, or had booked secret passage on a freighter. She was what went wrong, Bell realized. Catherine was wounded.
Is the girl aboard? He asked Falconer.
She needs a doctor, the boy with the shotgun blurted.
Shut up, Bruce, Plimpton growled.
I'm aboard, said Catherine D.
She staggered up the companionway from Falconer's private cabin. Disheveled, pale, and feverish, she looked like a child shaken from a deep sleep, except for the hatred on her face.
Thanks to you, she said bitterly to Bell. You're ruining everything.
She had held tight to her pistol when he had shot her in Barlow's jewelry shop. She raised it with a trembling hand and aimed it at him.
Miss D, said Bruce, you shouldn't be on your feet.
She needs a doctor, said Bell.
That's what I've been saying. Mr. Plimpton, she's got to have a doctor.
Shut up, Bruce, said Plimpton. She'll have a doctor as soon as we get out of this mess.
Hands in the air, boxed in by O'Shea's gunman, the tall detective searched her eyes, seeking some advantage even as he braced for the bullet. He saw no mercy, no hesitation, only the deep, deep weariness of a person with a mortal wound. But she intended to kill him before she died, as she had killed Grover Lakewood and Father Jack and who knew how many others for Eyes O'Shea. How long before she passed out? Where, he wondered, was her streak of God?
Did you know, he asked, that Father Jack prayed for you? A lot of good his prayers did. It was Brian O'Shea who saved me.
What did Brian save you for? To hurl Grover Lakewood to his death? To shoot the priest?
Just like you shot me.
No, said Bell. I shot you to save the woman I love.
I love Brian. I will do anything for him.
Bell recalled the words of train conductor Dilber on the 20th Century Limited. Riker and his ward are completely on the up and up. Always separate staterooms. And O'Shea himself, speaking as Riker had said, the girl brings light into my life where there was darkness.
And what will Brian be for you?
He saved me.
15 years ago. What will he do for the rest of your life, Catherine?
Keep you pure?
Her hand shook violently.
You.
Her breath came hoarsely.
You kill to please him, and he keeps you pure. Is that how it works?
Father Jack was right to pray for you. Why?
She wailed. He knew in his heart, in his soul, that Brian O'Shea couldn't save you.
And God could?
So the priest believed, with all his heart.
Catherine lowered the gun. Her eyes rolled back in her head,
The gun slipped from her fingers, and she folded to the deck as if she were a puppet whose strings had been cut.
"Plimpton, damn you!" Bruce shouted. "She'll die without a doctor!"
He gestured emphatically with his pistol. Like a viper striking reflexively at movement, Plimpton shot Bruce between the eyes and whirled back to the blur of motion that was Isaac Bell. The bodyguard had committed a fatal error. Bell fired his Browning twice. Plimpton first, then the remaining gunman. As the gunman pitched forward, his shotgun went off, the report deafening in the confined space of the yacht's cabin. A swath of pellets tore under the banquette into the legs of Lowell Falconer and his crew. Bell was wrapping a tourniquet above Falconer's knee when Donald Darby stuck a cautious head in the door.
"Thought you'd want to know, Mr. Bell? The Holland is passing under the Brooklyn Bridge."